This is the July 29, 2025 meeting of Recovery from Relapse Overeaters Anonymous meeting. Today we have a speaker, Kathy C., who hails from Montreal, Canada, and came to OA in September 2013.
Good morning. I hope I'm being heard well. My name is Kathy C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I use the word recovered because I'm recovered just for today, because I live by the steps in the big book here. It tells me I can recover from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. At the very beginning, though, I didn't understand what that was. I thought I was going to come to OA, lose the weight, change my taste buds, because somehow something would happen when I would start eating certain foods or engage in certain behaviors. I wanted that to be changed. I wanted to eat moderately. I wanted to eat like a lady. I wanted to be thin. And then I thought I will be happy. Once I become thin and all that changes, then I'll be happy. Why did I need to come to OA in the first place, right? What was really going on with me? How did that look? So I don't have the typical story of, compulsively eating or being, obese or anorexic or however, food has, became problematic in people's lives. My story is unique to mine, just like I believe everyone else's is. So I was okay. I wasn't obsessed about food or body image up until my mid-30s. Now, I did always have, a leaning towards food. I always enjoyed, trying new foods. I was always like, oh, can I have more? Can I have more? I was never again obese, but I was like, fluffy or chubby. I don't know what the right term would be, but I was okay. I was okay. I thought I was okay. But the truth is that unmanageability that we talk about in the rooms or in the big book and the steps is I always did try to use outside, forces and outside, help. So, as a young girl, I was biting my nails. I had this nervous energy. Then I started to smoke. So again, I was always relying on that to help me, whatever was going inside, but it was low level, right? I was still very young. Then I met my husband, and I sort of made him my higher power. And then we had children. And then somewhere in my mid-30s, things started to get harder. Wasn't biting my nails anymore, wasn't smoking anymore, so there I was. The worst place to be. I decided to go on a diet because I saw my sister-in-law go on a diet and she looked well, she looked happy, and why can't I? And that's what started this cycle of eating and not eating. I had lost weight and I thought, well, I'm going to have to keep this low weight of 102 pounds. I was, only 5'2 in height. And so 102, 103 is very low. But though I thought this is how it should be, I should be able to maintain it after all. But I wasn't. And it became an obsession. And I remember realizing to myself, this is taking over part of my mind. I'm constantly thinking of what to eat, what not to eat. And so then for the next 10 years, that's where I lived, trying to diet again, right? Trying all these diets, low carb diet, low fat diet, just a protein diet. How about going to the doctor and he gave me a cookie diet? Have 8 cookies a day, you'll lose 5 pounds. So I did all sorts of, ridiculous things. I even had my fat freeze, try to freeze my fat off. I hired a personal trainer where they do, a bikini model competition, And the thing is, I would be okay to start, but somehow I wasn't able to stay. day stopped or to stay on any diet. Because again, I thought I knew what I needed to do. There I was again, planning, making all these like goals for myself, thinking that, pull yourself together. They can do it. Why can't you? You just need more willpower. Apply yourself. It's not that hard. What's wrong with you? And so I was sharing with a friend, a personal friend, and she said to me, "You know what? Herself, by her own admission, what was obese." So at this point, I had only 15, 20 pounds, probably 20 pounds. So it was the same 5 pounds I was trying to lose every 4 to 5 days. That was my pattern. 3 to 4 days, I would starve and then binge. Starve 4 days, binge three, and then it kept getting closer and closer and shorter and shorter. And I kept binging and being miserable. So, she said to me, "Kathy, we are like alcohol to the alcoholic when it comes to sugar." And I said, "Oh my God, is that what that is? A sugar addiction?" So I Googled sugar addiction and OA popped up. And I told her, I said, "You know what? There's a meeting. There's an OA meeting on Thursday night in the basement of a church. Should we go?" She goes, "Yes, let's go." So I get to the meeting. I'm in the parking lot and I text her. I said, "Hey, I'm here." She says, "You know what? The plumber who's renovating my washroom had an issue. I need to go to the store and get him a piece. If not, he won't be able to complete the job." I said, "Okay, no problem. I'll go and I'll let you know how it goes." So I walk into this room, bottom of the basement of a church, and someone says to me, "Are you here for the choir?" Again, I guess I didn't look to them like I was, however they expected me to look on the outside. And I said, "No, I'm here for OA." They're like, "Oh, okay, come on in, come on in." And so I remember when they were talking about all this food, all the issues they had with food, all the problems and what they did with food, right? So they stole food like I did. They hid their food like I did. They had like these patterns or these behaviors, like I'd eat well, okay, in front of people, and then I'd be like this other person when I'd have like this compulsion to eat. And so I started crying. I was so moved. I was so shaken. I felt a sense of relief, like, "Oh my God, this is like real." And then they talked about God, and I really didn't. I'm like, "Oh, okay, that's not bad. I can do God." I'm like, okay. So again, I tried. I stayed in the meetings, kept coming back. They said, "Kept coming back, keep coming back." So I just kept going, but it took a year and a half until it really hurt, and that, I was just using that meeting for emotional support, and I wasn't getting anywhere. I was not getting anywhere until a woman said to me, a member said, "Well, how are your 10 steps?" And I said, "My 10 steps?" I said, "Well, I do it in the morning." And I thought it was just like a prayer, like, of some sort. And she's like, "No," she says, "look on page 84." And she, those four things that step four, the step 10, indicates to us. I'm like, "Yeah, no, I said, wow, I never saw that. I never saw that. I And she says, "Well, this is how it is for me. This is how I'm able to stay okay." And so she brought me through the steps, and I felt recovered. I had a sense of recovery. And so I kept on with her. And then she decided to move from one meeting group to another. She says, "If you want me to sponsor you, I'm moving over there." And in this OA kind of meeting, we don't talk about food. We don't believe in the allergy of the body. It's all about service. It's all about, you providing your day, your time, go to meetings to help others, and you will be okay. And I was like, "Oh, so I don't have to abstain from those foods which brought me like hell, pain, and this and that." And she's like, "Well, this is where I'm going. You're free to go." So I wanted to go with her because that's what where I was. People pleaser. I still needed her. So I went with her, and there's where I continued to relapse. I continued to. I started to relapse again because now my plan of eating changed, my mindset changed. It was like, okay, I can moderate this. It's like the alcohol with a little bit of whiskey. Basically, that's where I was at. And looking now, I think they were more like of an Al-Anonic kind of meeting where they thought like gambling, it's their behavior. It's just behavioral. Once you do, the work or however, service you can provide to someone else, the food won't be a problem. Food is not your real problem. But unfortunately for me, just like it says in the big book, the allergy of the body, and I cannot deny it. The whole picture, my whole story does involve substance. It whatever I put into my body reacts abnormal. And it's called an allergic reaction. It happens to not everyone, but to me, it does. I want more. I don't get satisfied. It only becomes intensified. And I eat against my will. And every day I would choose, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to, eat that. Like, get it out of your head. And okay, I'm fine. And, fine, great. Okay. And there I was again. So that is what kept happening over and over again. That's the chronic alcoholic. I'm the chronic eater. This would happen over and over again unless I had a psychic change. And so, what is this psychic change? What does it mean? And how do I get it? And so, fast forward 2020, COVID. But right before COVID, I had that period again of relapse. So I thought I was from that group. Sorry, I failed to mention from that group. I left that group and I went to another OA meeting where they study the big book every day. They study the directions and they believe in a food plan, abstaining from those foods that create the allergy, just like an alcoholic has to drink, but he doesn't have to drink alcohol. That was the same for me. I don't have to eat those foods. So for me, all of it is like desserts and sugar and all those snacky kinds of food. I had to abstain from that behavior. So I had a sponsor who said, I want you to get a plan of eating from a nutritionist. And I was like, well, I already know how to eat. I know how to diet, right? Did I really though? Did I ever find freedom from me, being like, okay, I'm gonna eat this, and then, well, maybe I'll eat that, and well, I didn't have that in the morning. I can certainly eat it, and then it would become a mess. I would just be constantly eating and still consumed, having that food obsession, what to eat, what not to eat. I wasn't free. So she said, try this, have a plan of eating, make sure you have the food. Make sure you have everything you need. No more excuses for not, And if you make substitutions or things change, absolutely let me know and send it, send it to me every day. So that was my first, change I did, is I let them. And she says to me, one week we'll do this, because I'm like, no, I'm going to gain weight. This is a lot of food. This is a lot of food. I said, I'm going to gain weight. I don't know. She's like, let's try it for 1 week. And if you gain weight, we're going to stop. Can you do that? I can do that for 1 week. Absolutely. So every day I was, eating, and I felt a sense of like fullness. I'm like, for sure, I'm getting fat. I'm gaining weight. Oh my God, in a week, I'm going to tell her. She'll see. She's wrong. And so I did this eating. Like normal people, they have their breakfast, they have their lunch, they have their dinner. It's well balanced. It came from a nutritionist, and a snack if I needed, if I had worked out. And so I did this for a week. I get on the scale and I lost 3 pounds. I was like, that's a mistake. I get back on again. I get back on a third time. How did I lose 3 pounds by eating all that food? And that was my first, spiritual, act of honesty, but also I had a belief. I'm like, wow, I really can't trust myself with this. So I started to trust her. She's there trying to help me. That was her only aim, just trying to help me, another compulsive overeater. And she showed to me what worked for her. If I was just as bad as she was, why would it not work for me? So there's where I began. So I'm like, okay, this is fine. So I had my food there, so the chatter, the negotiation, the frustration with food, 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 the mental obsession was quieted. And so now I had space to work the steps. And she asked me to pray and meditate every day, half an hour. I was like, half an hour? And I'm like a drive-by prayer. I say my serenity prayer, blah, blah, blah. And so by doing this, reading spiritual books, listening to spiritual speakers, I found my practice, and I would practice this. And at the same time, working the steps, giving her my plan of eating, trying to be of service in my life. Who can I help today? And so that is what kept me. I joined a big book 12-step meeting that was a 6-long workshop, sorry, 6-month-long workshop. And there's where I really saw the powerlessness. There is where I saw, oh my God, I don't have a choice. I can't choose to eat or not eat. I'm always gonna be, again, eating. I lost the power to choose. My willpower is non-existent. I chose every day not to eat like that, not to do that. And there I was. It's like I was being hijacked, like taken and just like thrown in, in the white van type of thing. And I saw this will always be. And it tells me in the big book, I am restless, irritable, and discontented. By just abstaining, by just following a diet, I have to have a psychic change. So that psychic change is a relationship with power. I didn't have a relationship with power. It was a Santa Claus for me. I would tell God what I needed, what I wanted, and I'll do this. And if I do this, please, can I get that? I was like begging. That's not God. Right? So this relationship, I befriended this with this higher power, highest energy, which for me was all about peace, peace of mind, love. How can I care for others around me? That's truly what I want. But it came out through fear. It came out like, if I don't let them know, then this will happen. And if, they should know this, and I need to tell my son this, and my husband this, and they have to. There I was, essentially playing God. And it says in the big book, the first thing I had to do was to quit playing God. I didn't understand what that meant till I actually, saw and heard. How am I really thinking and behaving here? What am I really telling them? Is the problem really out there with them? Or is it inside me? What am I perceiving about the situation? What am I thinking right now? Where am I going with this? Am I still in the past thinking that that bad thing will happen again? So here I am. I got to get in there. Let me rearrange. Let me rearrange everybody, write the lights, the script. That's essentially what really ailed me. Me thinking I knew. And so I had to continue here living in the steps. I had to continue to watch myself. And by doing inventory, I do. Inventory every day, because well, that's my 11th step, right? At night, it asks me to check. Where were you resentful? Who were you angry at? Right? Were you dishonest and dishonest, like thinking? Did you really think you know what's really going on with them and how they should be behaving or what should happen to you for the greater good? And so, for me, this building a relationship with power means every morning I sit with this, I sit with my thoughts. That's why I have thoughts. I have to have thoughts. I can never quiet my mind. First I have to let all my thoughts come out. And sometimes I write. I was really really strong at writing. And then it became more of a in my mind. And I still write sometimes, so it varies. And unless I still feel angered, upset, wanting things in self-pity, whatever's going on with me until I don't feel like I've let everything out here with God, shared it with God, with this higher power. I continue until I feel that relief. If I don't, I know I need more. I still haven't abandoned myself, right? It says in the big book, I have to abandon myself. What does that mean? Well, it's all my thinking. Right? And so I pray for what? I pray for knowledge. For whose knowledge? God's knowledge, for his will for me. I don't pray that my son doesn't get sick. I don't pray that my husband does this. I can't pray for that. That's so selfish. It doesn't work. It makes me more upset because now I'm expecting them to behave a certain way. After all, I told God, where's God? Why isn't he doing it? He's not my errand boy. I'm not Mrs. God, like, my husband, can you take out the garbage? That's not God. So I had to change all that. I had to set aside everything I thought about, this higher power, this God, what I really need. And I would ask God, change my thoughts. Why am I so angry? Why is this still on my mind? What am I really worried about? How would you have me be? Who would you have me speak to today? Where can I be most useful, most helpful? And you know what? The miracles that come through my life now, having practiced this practice, because it is a practice, I see God everywhere. I get like, it says like we get this intuition, so an idea comes, and I'm like, oh, and I take those actions now. So my thinking has changed because I ask God to direct my thinking. It says that in the pages 86 on awakening. Divorce it from self-pity, right? For those motives that will just only serve me. And we all know what that means because we have loved ones in our life. And of course, we don't want them to have any pain or any issues. We want them to be healthy. We want them to be happy. Absolutely, I want that for them. But you know what gives me the power where I could be today and know and trust that they are going to be happy, free, and healthy is through God. It's through God. God doesn't want those things, this higher power doesn't want that those bad things to happen either. And so again, I had to change what I thought the purpose of God was. I thought God created tornadoes. God created the wars, or he was responsible somehow. That was my foolish thinking. That was, that kind of God. I feared that God. That was, I inherited that from my parents when they used to bring me to Sunday mass, and the priest would like yell at us and, and fear God and fear God. I don't have a fear of God. It's really my what I make up things in my mind that I should really, watch out for. And the steps, the inventory steps, help me that, what's really going on. Let's look at it. Let's discuss this with another person, and so I do the daily 10, 11, 12, and I haven't relapsed in 5 years. In September 2020 would be 5 years that I have not hurt myself with all those sugary and awful foods that are awful. And now I see it as just like anything. And I've traveled. We always have family over. I also bake for my family, of course. I cook, and I don't have that obsession anymore. Right now, I can tell the truth from the false, whereas before I didn't. I see clearly. This will never work. No, ooh, and that came to me. That was, lifted, and it was sometime when I was doing the steps. I don't know when, but it did. And I remember saying to myself, "Oh my God, you forgot to binge today." It's like, I didn't forget the binge. It was removed. It was removed. Yeah, it just was taken from me. Why? Because I'm in a different place. I asked God to change my thinking, to change my heart, and therefore my behavior changes. So I continue to do my 10, 11, 12, and to be of service, right? It tells us even at the very beginning of the big book, right? This, to be there for others, to help others, to be, who else can we help today? I don't know where it says it, but it says in, it says that we, I don't know where it's at exactly now, but it tells me right at the beginning, I'm here to help someone else today. And everywhere in my life, I'm not here just to get the cute little house and the fancy car and the vacation and the nice clothes and the thin body. And no, those are all extras that I appreciate, and I'm grateful for that in my life. But the core, the real purpose, the real love, the real satisfaction is really when I first get God's love, God's intuition, and I carry that out and I help other suffering compulsive overeaters and people in my family as well. And I just want to mention, I also had in 2020, 2019, before my the recovery, my son was diagnosed with a disease, and I provided for him because he came to me, with his fear and his, anguish, and I just provided to him a solution of a higher power, of a God, and I said, just sit with this higher power. The doctors, we have great doctors. The surgery is coming up. We have a plan for that. And somehow I knew I had to tell him to just find
5
his
minutes,
why.
can I say?
Thank you. And so I something said, program, God. He needs God too, right? Because we all have God. And I said to him, you have a higher power. You have a God down deep inside you already. You are already equipped. You don't have to do anything. You just have to sit there and share with this and ask God to, to remove, to lift all this pain, this anguish, this worry, this fear of the not knowing what's going to happen, what's going to happen, how am I going to do this? And, because that's really what, again, is a source of my suffering, me thinking I have to know. I have to figure it out. And so he started his practice, his own practice, and he still comes to me today. We have really nice, deep conversations about power, about God. And I shared with him my book, one of my first meditation books I shared with him. And I'm able to be like that with people. So the promises do come true. I got a text from a cousin. She goes, Kathy, I need your calm words. Her dog was sick and her father was at the hospital, and she has a mother who has Alzheimer's. She goes, I need your calm words. And I just prayed to her like I would pray to God. God, I ask you to remove this here from me. I trust that all will be well. I will not be misguided today. I cannot see. I am blinded. But you see perfectly, God. And I continue this because this is how it is now. That's how my the change, like Dr. Young talks about the rearrangement, everything had to be changed, and I needed help. I needed guidance at the beginning. I needed someone to show me what was that, because my illness, right? Why am I in OA? Because I lack power. So I need power. So every day I have a daily reprieve. Every day I need to do this because I just have today. That's the truth. When I'm living anywhere else, that's the big fat lie. I can't live in tomorrow. I don't know what will happen in 10 minutes. I assume I'll be going to my mother-in-law's and helping them. That's what I do too. They have Alzheimer's, and my father-in-law too has cancer. All I can do is just what's in front of me right now. This is where I live. This is all I need to do today, what's in front of me right now. And I constantly ask God. I say that prayer. Help me be patient today. Help me be tolerant. Help me be loving. Set aside everything I think I know that will happen. For an open mind and a new experience today. Why? Because it's a new day. It's a new day. It'll be the first time I speak to my mother-in-law today, or it'll be great. Why not? I'm to go there with love. I can only apply what God instructs me. So, the purpose of this is really to establish a relationship with power, and for me to show someone else that, you can too be free, right? And when you straighten out spiritually, meaning you have to have this solution of a power, developing a relationship with power, then you're going to straighten out physically and mentally. So the physical part, I was able to shed all that excess weight from that garbage food. And mentally, I don't have the obsession to go back again to eat, to say, it's okay, you need just a little bit, it'll be fine. So there's where I need to continue, and I continue, and I sponsor, and my sponsees have sponsees, and I just carry a message just like I'm carrying it today. I didn't invent anything. It's just things that, came to me, through help of other speakers. And just recently at AA, he said the most wonderful thing, and I was like, wow, yeah, that's me. This story, this big book here is really a story of love. That is what God is for me, love. And under love, I find patience. I don't hurt myself anymore. I could forgive people. And then, I could forgive myself for not being perfect. So I don't have to judge them either. And I can let be whatever needs to let be, and I can really accept how it is. I don't have to like anything. I don't have to be always comfortable with it, but you know what? I can get comfortable with it. I'm just a thought away from changing my reality from one situation, from one mindset to another, and this is where I get to choose. But to choose to eat or not to eat, if I don't have God, I'm done. So today, I choose to work the program. And recovery is there for all of us. It's already there. It's already there. Thank you. I will pass with that.